Morning, folks. Glad you're here today. It's good to be back home. Sandy and I took a few days off, and if you're on Facebook, down to Memphis, Tennessee. We like to go to places we've never gone before. We have found ourselves going to the same place every single year, and it's like, why don't we go to someplace different? So this year, we went down to Memphis. We visited the home of Elvis Presley. Thank you very much. You know what I'm talking about. But it was a good thing to go to. Sandy saw a pink Cadillac in his museum that she would like to have. And so if you see her driving around town in a big pink Cadillac, you'll know that I really do love her that much. And if you don't see her driving around town in a pink Cadillac, I still love her that much. But at any rate, it's good to be back home. Glad you guys are here today. Yesterday, we had our walk through the New Testament. It was really, really good. I know some of you missed it, and you missed a good day. It was really, really good to be able to, even for me and Jay, we are going like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that, or, oh, I didn't realize that. We're able to connect some dots that we weren't able to connect before. And as we wrapped up at about 2:45 yesterday, we were talking about the whole idea of, you know, why has God given us all of this? Why has God given us the Bible? Why has God blessed us in such a way? And you in such a way that he has? God has you in order to be a blessing to other people. That's why God's blessed you. In fact, And when it comes to blessing, it's not just God has blessed you with what you have in your pocket, what God's blessed you that you have maybe in your bank account. The reason God has blessed you is to be a blessing to others, and money is just a small part of it. God has given you the time that you have. God has given you the talent that you have in order to be a blessing to other people. And that brings me to Go Love Kokomo. You've seen the signs around, the sign-up sheets around the room. You've got the description of everything that we're going to be doing in Go Love Kokomo. And I'm going to tell you what I've told the first service and what I told our second service. And I'm going to be kind of blunt about it. I expect you to sign up. Period. I expect you to sign up. I expect you to participate. Because understand, God has given us some unbelievable blessings in our lives, and he has given us those blessings in order to be a blessing to other people. And the blessing may not come back to you in your bank account, but the blessing might be a hug from a little kid at open arms who says, thank you so much for coming and helping us. Your blessing might be a blessing from somebody in the rescue mission. Your blessing might be from somebody in a retirement home or a nursing home who looks at you with tears streaming down their cheeks saying, you know what? No one ever comes here to see me. God has blessed you in order to be a blessing to other people. And so, bluntly, I expect you to sign up. And after the service, go to those things and sign up. And you may say, well, you know what? I need a week or so to think about it. I need a week or so to pray about it. Hey, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Think about it. Pray about it. And then come back and sign up next week. We need a minimum of 100 people. And we need you to sign up. We'd love to have 150. We'd love to have 200 people, like Jay said. Sign up. Go Love Kokomo is coming up October 6th, and afterwards we're going to celebrate. We're going to have a pizza party here. We're going to have a lot of fun. So please make it a point to do that. Today we're going to be rolling out a brand new sermon series, and the new sermon series that we're going to be rolling out today is this. It's on stewardship. It's on resources. What we're going to be talking about for the next 3 weeks is money. And understand, when it comes to talking about things in church, money is not an issue that people like to talk about. In fact, I know of some people in some churches where their preacher has talked about money in church, and guess what those people have done? They have left the church because they don't think we ought to talk about it in church. It's a sensitive subject to talk about in church. Honestly. And if that's the case, you may be asking me, well, Lynn, if it's such a sensitive subject, why in the world are you talking about it? Well, I'm talking about it because it's in the Bible. You see, I'm not talking about it because our church is in financial trouble. Praise the Lord. We're not in financial trouble. But do let me say this. The more money we have, the more people we have for Christ. The more money we have, the more people we can teach for Jesus Christ. The more money we have, the more we can reach out to people in our community. The more money we have, the more we can reach out to people all over the world through missions. I mean, come on. God has resourced us in such unbelievable ways. We ought to be reaching out more than what we are today. And so we're going to be talking about resources. We're going to be talking about money. We're going to be talking about stewardship for the next 3 weeks. There's a Methodist preacher who lived a long, long time ago. His name is Clovis Chapel. Clovis Chapel once said this, and I love it. I just absolutely love it. He said, "I never hesitated to speak to my congregation about giving. I revel in it. I love it. I love to see the generous smile and the stingy squirm." Don't you love that? That's really, really good. You see, I'm preaching today and I'm preaching for the next couple of weeks on this because what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, you know what that says? That says, preach the word. Paul told Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. In other words, what he's saying is this: preach, Lynn, what is popular, and also preach what is unpopular. Preach what's popular, preach what's unpopular. Today, what I want us to talk about is what's going on in our heart. What's going on in your heart? You see, the truth of the matter is this: what's going on in your heart will reveal itself in how you walk. What's going on in your heart will reveal itself in how you talk. What's going on in your heart will reveal itself in how you think. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, and this is Jesus talking. Jesus says, "Don't judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now this is a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus here is addressing, I believe, some attitudes that we have, some attitudes in our lives, some attitudes in our hearts and in our minds. Open up your Bible, not to Matthew chapter 7, but open up your Bible now back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7 are parallel passages with one another. Look at verses 37 and 38 in Luke chapter 6. There Jesus says, "Do not judge and you will not be judged. Don't condemn and you won't be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven." Look at verse 38. "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." What I find really interesting is this. When you look at these parallel passages, the first part of these passages and the last part of these passages are pretty much the same. Don't judge or you'll be judged. I mean, the measure you use will be measured back to you. But in the middle, what we have are totally different words. Give and it will be given to you. Shaken down, pressed down, running over into your lap. Jesus trying to say here, this is what I believe Jesus is trying to say to every single one of us in this room today. Jesus is saying, I want you to live that way. To live in the exact same way. A good measure, pressed down, shaken down, and running over. In fact, what Jesus is saying here, he's using farming language that a lot of Jewish people could really relate to. You see, in every single field at harvest time, what you'd have out there in the fields were two different groups of people. You'd have the harvesters out there, the hired hands out there. They were working in the middle of the field. And then at the edges of the field, you would have the poor people. You would have people who didn't have a whole lot, and they were working the edges of the field. And what God is saying to us, he says, I want you to leave the edges of the field in your life for the poor folks. Now, how would the poor people fill up their baskets as compared to those people who are working in the middle of the field, as compared to the hired hands? How would they fill up the baskets? You see, the hired hands, would they fill their basket up like the poor people do? I don't think so. You see, the hired hands wouldn't fill up their baskets by putting grain in and shaking it down and then patting it down and putting more grain in and then shaking it down and patting it down and putting more grain in and shaking and patting and putting more and shaking and patting and putting more until it runs over. I don't think that the hired hands would be doing that, because understand, if they did that all day long, those baskets would be so heavy that they couldn't put in a full day's work. They might fill it half full, they might fill it three quarters full and take it and dump it and go get some more. Take it, dump it, and go get some more. The poor folks, on the other hand, I think they'd be filling it this way. I think they'd be putting grain in, taking it down, patting it down, putting more in. Shaking and patting, putting more in. Shaking and patting and putting more in until the grain ran over the top of the basket. They wanted to get in that basket as much grain as they possibly could. And what's Jesus' point here? Jesus says here, I think, this is how I want you to live. This is how I want you to give. Fill it up. Let it overflow to everybody around you. Because understand, whatever you give, you're going to get back. If you plant an apple seed, what do you get? You get an apple tree, right? You plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree. On that apple tree, what do you get? You get tons, well, I shouldn't say tons, but you get bushels and bushels and bushels of apples, right? Inside those bushels and bushels of apples, what do you get? You get a whole lot more apple seeds in order to go out and plant more apple trees, right? For more apples. You see, here's my point. Here's my point. Whenever you give, you're going to receive. Oftentimes when we look at Luke chapter 6, I think we miss the context there. A lot of people, when they look at Luke chapter 6, think Jesus is talking about money. And I really don't think Jesus is talking about money in Luke chapter 6. You see, the context is about an attitude that we've got. It's about an attitude that we walk around with. It's how we think. It's about an attitude of our mind, an attitude of our heart. Look at what he talks about. He says there, he's talking about judging. He's talking about condemning. But he's also talking about forgiving. He says, if you give judgment to other people, you're going to get judgment in return. If you give condemnation to other people, you're going to get condemnation in return. Now, I want you to notice something else in this passage as well as the Mark chapter 7 passage. Jesus does not say, do not judge. Read it for yourself. He does not say, don't judge. I mean, we all make judgment calls every single day, don't we? I mean, we're listening to the news. I don't like that one. I'm going to turn the channel. We're listening to the radio in our car, our truck. I don't like what the music is there, so I'm going to turn the channel. We make judgment calls every single day. What am I going to wear today? What am I going to eat today? We make judgment calls in relationship to our kids. I want my kids to hang out with that group of kids and not that group of kids. Oh, I want my kids to see that movie, but I am not going to let my kids see that movie. You know what? My kids can go on that website, but my kids cannot go on that website. We're making judgment calls all the time. In fact, we ought to make those same judgment calls for our own lives. I shouldn't go on that website, but I should go on that website. I shouldn't go to that movie, but you know what? I can go to that movie. We should make judgment calls in our own lives like that. You see, Jesus in the passage doesn't say, don't judge. He said, if you do judge, there's going to be some judgment in return. If you do condemn, there's some condemnation in return. You see, when it comes to judging, it's in how you do it. It's in how you do it. It's the attitude that you use. And what's interesting in the passage is this. In Luke chapter 6, what's very interesting, he says, you know, don't judge or you'll be judged. Don't condemn or you'll be condemned. But then he goes on to say, if you're a forgiving person, you're going to get forgiveness in return. If you're a forgiving person, you're going to get forgiveness in return. By the way, what's the root word of forgive? Give. Forgive. The word for means that you're in favor of something, right? And so if you forgive, that means you're in favor of giving. You see, if we're not in favor of giving, I'm here to tell you, you're going to have difficulty with forgiving. If you're not in favor of giving, you're going to have some difficulty with forgiving. I mean, you've got to be a gracious person in order to forgive. You've got to be a gracious and generous person in order to forgive. And when it comes to Jesus and what he's talking about here, Jesus just isn't talking about giving. Jesus is talking about an attitude that you've got in your heart, an attitude that you speak with, an attitude that you live with, an attitude that you think with. Now keep your thumb there in Luke chapter 6. We're going to go back to that in 15 minutes or so. I want you to go over to the Old Testament, about the fifth book, the book of Deuteronomy. Look at the book of Deuteronomy. Click in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to be going into the 15th chapter, and let's begin reading in verse 7. Moses writes there in Deuteronomy 15, beginning in verse 7, "If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need." What in the world is Moses talking about here? He's talking about this big idea of giving. It's the attitude of your heart. The attitude that he's talking about here is this: do not be tight-fisted. You know what we would say today? Don't be a tightwad. Sandy's going right now. You know that pink Cadillac, honey? Do not be a tightwad about that pink Cadillac, hon. We'll be talking about that one. At any rate, he's saying, don't be tight-fisted. Don't be a tightwad about it. Instead, he says, be open-handed. Be willing to give to whoever has need. Be willing to give to whoever has need. Let me ask you, are you there yet? Are you willing to give to whoever has need? Are you there yet? To be totally honest with you, I struggle with that. I struggle with that. You see, sometimes when people ask me for stuff, sometimes when people ask me for things, I catch myself wanting to evaluate. I catch myself wanting to judge whether or not they are worthy, whether or not they are deserving of what I'm going to give them. And so here's the question that I pose to myself. Here's the question I think we need to pose to all of ourselves. The question is this: how do we get to the place where we give like God gives? How do we get to the place where we can give like God gives? I've got four different things that we got to deal with in order to give like God gives. And here's the first thing that we've got to deal with. We've got to deal with a selfish heart. We've got to deal with a selfish heart. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Let's begin again at verse 7. "If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them." Okay, we've read this. He says, going on to verse 8, "Rather, be open-handed and freely lend to them whatever they need." Look at verse 9. "Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought." What wicked thought is he thinking about? Here's the wicked thought that he's talking about. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts is near. Why not think that? Look at the word "so." "So that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin." What's he saying here? He's saying, don't harbor, don't think, don't have in your mind that kind of a wicked thought. You've got to deal with your selfishness in life. Understand, selfishness leads to sin. Put that down in your notes. Selfishness leads to sin. That's what the passage is talking about. Selfishness leads to sin. What's the context here? The context is this. Every seventh year, back in ancient Israel, every seventh year is canceled debt. You see, God created a system Israelites, whereby every seventh year, hear me, every seventh year in ancient Israel, all debt was canceled. Can I get an amen, please? Isn't that the truth? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, I go to Chase Bank and I say, hey, listen, it's year 7, cancel the debt on my house, please. Hey, Mr. Banker, cancel the debt on my vehicle, please. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Cancel the debt every 7 years. We get to start over. You see, here's what God's saying. Someone comes to you in year 6. This someone comes to you and says to you, by the way, I ran out of money last year in year 5 planting my crop. I need some money this year to plant my crop for year 6. They say that, you're thinking to yourself, you know what, if I give you money for crops in year six and your crops fail in year six, you don't have any money to pay me back before year seven comes. I'm going to be out of all that money. I'm not sure I want to do that. And you know what God's saying with those kinds of thoughts? God's saying, hey, listen, hold the phone. Hold the phone. I don't want you to have those kinds of thoughts. Don't let those thoughts stay in your mind. Don't let those thoughts stay in your heart. God says, I want you to give. I want you to be like me. Give. And this is a tough one. Give to people. Give. God says, give to people expecting nothing in return. Whoa. I'm going to give you a question. The other two services, bam, they were on it just like that. What's one of the hardest things to teach your small children? What's one of the hardest things to teach your small children? Anybody? Exactly. Sharing is one of the hardest things to teach your kids. And when it comes to us, we've got to learn sharing as well. I mean, you ever wonder why God invented giving to begin with? You ever wonder that? I mean, why did God invent giving to begin with? It's not like God needs it, right? It's not like God needs it. Here's the reason I think God invented giving. God invented giving for us. We need it. You see, giving deals with our selfishness. Giving deals with our greed. Giving deals with our self-centeredness. Whether we have a lot or whether we have just a little bit, we can never, ever be happy if we're greedy and selfish. We can never be happy if we're greedy and selfish. If you don't believe me, just look around. I mean, some of the most miserable people on the face of the planet are those people who are selfish and those people who are greedy. And some of you might be going, yeah, you're right. All those rich people, man, they are not happy. All those rich people, yep, you're right. I've seen rich people who are unbelievably unhappy because they are selfish and greedy. I have seen some very, very poor people who are terribly unhappy because they are unbelievably selfish and greedy. It falls on both sides of the fence when it comes to being selfish and greedy and rich and poor. However, on the other hand, guess what? Some of the most joyful people are those people who are giving. Some of the most joyful people are those people who are generous. Now, quite a few of you know this about me. I'm a guy. As a kid who grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, I grew up on the poor side of town. And Sam back home just a month or so ago, and you know, talking to my mom, enjoying you know being with her, and we took a ride around town one day, and just Sandy and I, and we were on my end of town. In fact, further beyond my end of town, out by some old rundown stockyards, and we were crossing these railroad tracks by these stockyards. And I pointed to an empty lot. In fact, there might even be a trader there now. I can't remember. But I pointed over there. I said, hey, listen, over there, that's where Mr. and Mrs. Love used to live. You see, Mr. and Mrs. Love, Harriet, they went to the church that I went to as a kid. And Forrest and Harriet Love were some of the poorest people in town. But Forrest and Harriet Love were some of the most generous people in town. Giving people in town. And Forrest and Harriet Love were some of the most generous people in town. They lived in an old rundown trailer. They'd come to church and they looked just like us. I mean, they dressed just like us. They dressed just fine. But if you didn't know where they lived, you'd have no idea. You thought they might live on the north end of town of Monmouth, Illinois. You wouldn't think they'd live in the south end of town, you know, beyond the tracks. They lived in an old rundown trailer, but they were the most generous, selfless people you'd ever meet, and they're the most happy, generous, selfless people you'd ever meet. You see, it happens to people poor, and it happens to people who are rich. You can be as rich as the king, but you know what? You can be as happy too. And you can be poor and you can be miserable. And you can be poor and you can be happy. I think a lot of preachers look at Luke 6:38, and I think a lot of preachers distort Luke 6:38. When you read through Luke 6:38, it's talking about what a lot of preachers call today the prosperity gospel. And when you talk about the prosperity gospel, they preach it this way: you give to God and you'll get from God. You give to God and you're going to get. And I don't think the Bible actually teaches that. You see, if you give, and if you don't give like God wants you to give, I don't think you've got God's heart. You see, we don't give to get. We give because we've been blessed. It's like what I was talking about a little bit ago. We may have been blessed with money, but guess what? We may have been blessed with talent. We may have been blessed with talent and time. God has blessed us in some unbelievable ways, and God wants us to use that blessing in our lives. And you know what? Every single one of us, when we are born, we're born takers. We're born getters. But when we're born again, we get a new identity. When we're born again, we become new people. And when we become new people, we get a new heart. And when we get a new heart, the new heart ought to be a heart that gives rather than gets. The new heart ought to be able to give rather than take. I asked you a little bit ago about what's one of the most difficult things to teach your kids. You said sharing. The other two services were spot on, just like that. I can remember when our kids were just in grade school. There was one evening, and I think it was in the fall when it happened, but there was one evening where we had a lot of practices, and by the way, we had five kids between us. We had a lot of practices going on that night, a lot of stuff going on that night, and we didn't have time to, you know, meet at home and to fix dinner and to eat dinner and to clean up and then to go out to all the practices and everything else we had going on. And so we went to McDonald's. We got our food. We were sitting down at the table. We were eating and we were laughing and we were talking. We were having fun and we were just, you know, reminiscing about old days, talking about, you know, vacations coming up, what we want to go. And I finished my food. I finished my quarter pounder and I finished my French fries. So I had a little bit of a Coke in my glass. And by the way, who loves McDonald's French fries? I absolutely love McDonald's French fries. My wife is about the same way. Sometimes we'll just go and get McDonald's French fries, and that's all we'll get, you know? I love McDonald's French fries. And so I finished my quarter pounder. I finished my fries. And so I want more fries, but I don't want to spend the money to go get more fries. I reach over the table to one of our boys. I grab some of his fries, and I put them in my mouth. And you know what he does? He almost comes unglued. I mean, he shouts in the room, "No, Dad, those are mine." Forget the fact that I bought the lousy fries, right? I bought the stinking fries. They're my fries. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Here's my point. All of us are the exact same way. I don't care if you're a little kid. I don't care if you're a big kid. I don't care if you're a little one or an adult. We're all the same way. All of us have to deal with the issue of sharing. All of us have to deal with the issue of a selfish heart. We've got to do it. God wants us to deal with the issue of a selfish heart. Now, here's a second thing. If you want to give like God, here's a second thing you got to deal with, and that's a grieving heart. A grieving heart. It's hard for me to imagine that God talks about a grieving heart in relationship to money. It's hard to believe, but God does. You know, when I think about a grieving heart, I think about, well, you know, I lost my dad last year, grieving heart. If I were to lose Sandy, unbelievably grieving heart. If I were to lose one of our kids, another one of our kids, grieving heart, right? But God talks about a grieving heart in relationship to money. Check out Deuteronomy 15:10. He says there, Moses writes, "Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart." King James Version says, "grieving heart." Do it without a grudging slash grieving heart. Because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hands to. The key phrase is, look at line three, the first three words, because of this. Because of this. God is saying to us that He wants us to give with the right heart. He says, I don't want you to give begrudgingly. I don't want you to give and then start grieving that you gave. He says, if you give that way, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. But when you give with the right heart, God says, guess what? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make it worth your while. And I'm not talking monetarily necessarily. But God says, I'm going to bless all you do. You see, for most of us, if we're not careful, when we hear a teaching, when it comes to giving, when it comes to money, stewardship, when we hear a teaching on money, it's almost like we've got this like this string attached from the billfold or maybe your purse, ladies, to your heart. You take it out of your pocket or you open it up and it tugs the string attached to your heart. And you know what? You're going, ouch, that hurts. I don't like that. That hurts. And you know what? Here's my point. Selfishness attacks us before we give. Selfishness attacks us before we give, and grief attacks us after we give. Think about it. Selfishness before we give. That happens when you are challenged to give. Maybe challenged to give above and beyond what you normally do. Like maybe our generous buckets. I mean, we've got Go Love Kokomo coming up, and we've been giving out a lot of money through our generous ministry and our generous funds. We're doing okay, but we use our generous funds to help finance Go Love Kokomo. We need more money in our generous funds. God says, I want you to give like me. You know, shaken down and patted down and overflowing. That's how God gave to us. God says, I want you to give the same way. Selfishness attacks us before we give, and grief attacks us after we give. We're challenged to make a gift to the church. We're challenged to make a gift to another ministry. And we're going, man, I'm not sure I want to do that because I worked hard for this money, right? I worked hard for it. Or let's say you do give. You do write the check out. You do put the $100 bill in. And then you go, man, I gave a lot of money to that. I shouldn't have done that. I really shouldn't have. Why do we grieve after we give? I think we grieve after we give because we think that it's all ours to begin with. We think it's all ours to begin with. Understand, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's. The Bible says the earth belongs to God, and it goes on to say everything in it belongs to God too. Everything. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to the government. It doesn't belong to the county. It doesn't belong to the bank. It doesn't belong to the landlord. It belongs to God. And you are the manager of it. Some of you, you've got a lot to manage. Some of us have a little bit to manage. But we're managers nonetheless. We've talked selfish heart, we've talked grieving heart. How in the world do we develop a generous heart? How do we do that? Look at Deuteronomy 15 again. In talking about a generous heart, 15, beginning in verse 12. There Moses writes this. He says, if any of your people, Hebrew men or women, sell themselves to you and serve you 6 years, in the seventh year you must let them go free. Now back in that economy, back in the Old Testament, you know, some of the folks were really, really, I mean, just absolutely dirt poor. They couldn't make it on their own. They would go to, you know, someone like Branyan and go, hey, John, I don't have enough to make it, and could I be your slave? And he'd go, yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. You can be my slave. But guess what? When year seven comes along, God said every seventh year, all the slaves go free. But some of the slaves love their masters so much, love their families so much, that they're saying, you know what? I don't want to go free. I want to stay with them. I want to stay with them. And so they do. But God's saying here in the text, he says, if any of your people, Hebrew men or women, sell themselves to you and serve you 6 years, in the seventh year you must let them go free. Give them the option. And when you release them, do not send them away empty-handed. Supply them liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and your wine press. Give to them. Well, how much do I give them? Duh, as the Lord your God has blessed you. God said, hey, listen up. For those of you who have slaves, he said, listen up. Let them go. And when you let them go, bless them liberally. Bless them liberally from your animals. Bless them liberally from your wine press. And also bless them liberally from your grain. Bless them. Now, pop back over to Luke chapter 6. Back to the New Testament. Go over to Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. Jesus says there, give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you, the golden rule. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even the sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But, he says, but love your enemies. Do good to them. Oh, he also says, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. You will be children of the Most High because the Most High is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. What's he saying here? Jesus is saying here that we need to be generous. He's saying that we need to not have a selfish heart. You see, if we live a generous life, we will get a great reward. What's the great reward that he's talking about? The great reward that he's talking about is that we'll be children of the Most High. We'll be children of God. We'll be God's kids. I mean, who doesn't want to be a child of God? All of us want to be children of God, right? So therefore, be generous children of God. Simply put, we are most like God when we are generous. You are most like God when you are generous. Some of you may go, what about those people who really don't appreciate what I give them? What about those people who really don't appreciate what I help them out with? What about all those people who are ungrateful for what I do for them? What about them? You know what? If you're not careful, and I'm talking to myself here, if we're not careful, that will change our heart. If we're not careful, that will change how we view those people who are down and out. If we're not careful, that will change how we give. And God says, be kind even to the ungrateful people. Be kind even to those people who are wicked. And who are the ungrateful? I wish I had a mirror here for you, because I'd say, look in the mirror. We all fall in that boat. I mean, that was our condition, wasn't it? That was our condition, the condition of our lives before we met Jesus Christ. We were ungrateful. We were selfish. We were wicked. We were self-centered. It was all about us before we found Christ. Do you remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 5? Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you glad? Jesus didn't wait to die for you until you were grateful. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't pay the penalty for your sin until you were thankful? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't wait? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't wait? I think God is saying here, hey, I'm generous. You're my kids, and since you're my kids, why aren't you generous? When are you going to grow up? When are you going to become generous? When are you going to become mature? When are you going to be sitting at the dining room table hoarding all your French fries? Why don't you open your arms up and let other people have all of your French fries too? When are you going to grow up and be generous? He's telling us. He's asking us. Develop a generous heart. It's a tough thing to do. In fact, here's another tough thing to do, to develop a grateful heart. I mean, how do you develop a grateful heart? Look back in Deuteronomy 15:15. There Moses writes, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you." You were slaves. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think anybody in our church has ever lived in Egypt. Anybody ever live in Egypt? Anybody ever been to Egypt? Some of you have. I've not. Love to go. But guess what? We've not lived in Egypt, so how's that apply to us? You know, we've lived in sin, though, haven't we? We lived in sin. Christ died while we were sinners. Christ died while we were in the act of sinning. He bought our freedom. He paid the price. He helped us out. He gave us eternal life. And then if you go on in 15:15, it goes on to say, that's why I give you this command. What do you mean, command? Wow, why command? He's ordering us to be generous. Why is he ordering us to be generous? He said, you didn't have anything to begin with. You were slaves of sin. You were slaves in Egypt. Man, I came in, I paid the price, I allowed my son Jesus Christ to die for you on a cross, and I want you to be just like me. I want you to give just like me. And I'm not just talking money, I'm talking about time and talent. I want you to be generous just like me. You see, God has blessed us so very much. Why? So that we can be a blessing to other people. God's blessed us so much so that we can be a blessing to other people. It is so easy, friends, to take God for granted. It's so easy to take him for granted. I mean, we forget the fact that all of us pre-Jesus, I mean, we were self-centered. We were mired in our sin. But he came and he redeemed us. He gave us the freedom. By the grace of the Almighty God, he's paid the debt for our sins. What do I want you to take out of this room today, out of this building today, and put in your hip pocket and use? I want you to ask this question. What's the condition of my heart, your heart? What's the condition of your heart? Down at the bottom of the outline page there on the back of the program, there are four different words: selfish, grieving, generous, and grateful. I want you in the next moment to circle one or two of those words that describe you. And for some of you, you might be going, truth be known, I'm a pretty selfish person. I'm not happy about it. I'm a pretty selfish person. Maybe some of you are going, you know what? I when it comes to grieving, that's all about me. Man, when it comes to grieving and I give, I don't give with joy. I don't give and say, thank you, God, for blessing me with this $2 to put in the generous bucket. God, thank you so much. No, that's not me. I grieve when I give, whether it's $2 or $200. Or maybe you circle generous. God, I want to be a more generous person. God, I'm selfish right now. Or God, I'm grieving right now. And God, I want to step up to the next level. God, I want to be a generous person. Or maybe you've got this. Maybe you want to circle grateful. God, I know what I was like before Jesus. Man, I partied all the time. Man, I thought I had a lot of fun all the time. But when all the curtains were down over the windows and the doors were shut and I was waking up from my hangover, you know what, God? I was a miserable, miserable person. But Jesus came into my life, and guess what? Life isn't perfect, but man, I'm a whole lot happier. I've got a whole lot more help now in my life than what I had back then. Maybe you're a grateful person. Maybe you want to be a grateful person. Make that your goal. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Our Father and our God, we are so grateful for all that you've done. And God, you have been unbelievably gracious to all of us. God, some of us have a bunch, and some of us have just a little bit. But regardless, God, you've called us to be generous people. Generous not because you've given us a bunch of stuff, but generous because you've given us Jesus. Because God, I'm hoping that all of you know, back before Jesus, I was a miserable person, not happy, angry all the time, not enjoying life. But now, after life isn't perfect, but man, my life's a whole lot better off. And so, God, I pray that we'll be grateful for what you've done for us. And God, if there's anybody here who wants that life, it may not be perfect, but it's a whole lot better off than what they've got now, and it's with Jesus. God, I pray they'll give them the courage to step out. Give them the courage to say something to somebody. Give them the courage to maybe even come forward this morning, God, and mention it. So God, help us. Help us all as we look at our lives, we take stock, we judge ourselves, God, and help us to be a better people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you're going, man, I got a ways to go, man, I'd like to talk to you about that. You know, it might be from point A to point B. Whatever it is, point B to point C. I'd love for you to come forward. Let's talk about it. Let's all stand and sing. I'll meet you up front.